Father God, once again, as we come to this time of hearing your word, we thank you for these songs and what they mean in our hearts and lives, and Father, how they bring encouragement to us in moments and times when we need the most. Father, I thank you for these young people and for the decisions that were made this week at Falls Creek, and I pray your blessings upon their lives in the days to come. Tabernacle in our midst this morning, and Father, lead us into all truth. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. A few moments ago when we were singing the song Keith sang at the beginning, and we were clapping. Now, I don't know about you. I can play the piano, and I can play the keyboard, but I don't have any rhythm. And, if it hadn't been for Ruby this morning clapping her hands, I would have been totally off. So, Ruby, whenever we clap hands, I watch you so that I'm on beat when you clap your hands. Otherwise, I'd be totally out there. I love music that's uplifting. Well, this morning, what I want us to do is look at life lessons from bitter pools. Life lessons from bitter pools. In the book of Exodus, over in the Old Testament, chapter 15, and verses 15 through 27, verses 22 to 27, we read about the bitter waters that are made sweet. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" For he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and hear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. There are 3 life lessons that you and I can learn from this text this morning in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes learning lessons or experiencing life realities teach us lessons that only some of those experiences bring to our hearts and lives. And in this particular passage here in the Old Testament, Israel had just had a great victory. They had left Egyptian bondage, and they're excited, and they're marching across the Red Sea, and they see all of the incredible things they've witnessed, the new life now that they have after the Egyptians have let them go, and they've witnessed God destroying their enemies there at the Red Sea, and now they're on a 3-day journey into this wilderness called Shur, and it's there they are going to learn 3 valuable lessons in life. Now, I know that everyone, wherever they are this morning, all over the world, everyone goes through trials, and both the righteous as well as the unrighteous. But you see, whatever your trial is this morning, the real key to take away is this: the battle belongs to the Lord. He's well able to handle the situation this morning. And so as we join the nation of Israel here in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, at these bitter waters at a place called Marah, what did God's people learn from this experience that he brought them up to and would bring them through? What is it that you and I can apply to our lives all these many years later? Number one, they learned some lessons about the realities of life. They learned some lessons about the realities of life. They had just experienced the blessing, but now they had to face a trial. As soon as they had left the Red Sea and journeyed for 3 days, now they are incredibly thirsty, and they come to this place called Marah. And as they are thirsty, they begin to drink from these waters, and there's absolutely, these waters were bitter. And according to God's word, life is a mixture of the good and the bad. Would you agree with that this morning? Life is a mixture of both good things as well as bad things. In fact, Job said in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job chapter 5, verse 7, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And then in the book of Ecclesiastes, we see these words penned in Ecclesiastes 2:17 and then verse 23. Therefore, the writer said, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun, that means life without God, he said, it was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then in verse 23 of Ecclesiastes 2, for all his days, speaking of men, for all of his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. And the writer said, this also is vanity. In other words, the writer looked at life with all of its experiences, with the good times and with the bad times, but the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes saw life filled with total emptiness, a total vacancy of things. And while this outlook seemed pretty depressing, we're also aware that life has its good moments as well. Life is a mixture of the good and the bad, but life also has a master. You and I need to understand this morning, when Israel arrived 3 days into their journey beyond the Red Sea, they came to the waters of Marah. They wanted to drink, and they drank. And from that water, the water was so incredibly bitter. And they begin to cry out to Moses. They begin to murmur and they begin to complain. They'd already, so quickly, they had forgotten the things that God had done for them. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. He led them through the Red Sea on dry land. They watched as the waters receded over Pharaoh and his armies. And they saw those incredible miracles. But so quickly, 3 days later, they have come to a trial in their life, and they had suddenly forgot about the good times and the things that God had done for them. You and I cruise through life. We enjoy the Lord's blessings and the things that the Lord does. But when trouble comes and we're distressed on every side, let me tell you, oftentimes we hang our head in defeat and we worry and we fret and we are totally forgetting about the good that God has done in our lives. In fact, in the book of John chapter 6 verses 1 to 21, those disciples of Jesus, they had rejoiced. They'd been with Jesus. They had watched him. They watched him teach from the mountainside in the boat. Out on the lake there of the Sea of Galilee, they had watched all of the things that he'd done, but now they were out in a boat, and they had forgotten in the middle of the storm that there is the master of the storm. And life has a master, and you and I have to choose. We have to understand either God is in control of the things in our lives, or he isn't. And so this morning, life has a mixture of ups and downs and twists and turns and hills and valleys and mountains and heartaches and all kinds of things that you and I could list this morning. The litany goes on infinitum. But let me tell you, life has a master. And sometimes we fail to remember that this world, he owns all of this world, he has got this whole world in the palm of his hand. Let me tell you, it's easy sometimes for you and I to forget whenever times are bad of how good God has been during the good days. You see, life not only has a mixture of the good and the bad and the ugly of life, but life has a master, and either God is in control of life or you choose that he is not. But life also has a ministry in the good times and in the bad times. In the nation of Israel, what they had learned was that God had spared them from many things. God had allowed them to go through many trials and heartaches because God had a purpose, God had a plan. They didn't always understand the plan. They didn't always understand the purposes. So oftentimes in life, you and I lean into our own understanding, and when we cannot understand what is happening in life, it's so easy to get angry at God and to blame God and to get mad at God. It's so easy for us to do those things. But I want you to know that God is still God. God's God in the good times. God is God in the bad times. I know, young people, you've been to Falls Creek this past week. I know you've had a mountaintop experience. Many of you have given your lives to Christ. Many of you made decisions to follow Christ into special service in some type of ministry down the road. But let me just assure you, young people, this morning, God is still God here in Duncan, America, as he was down at Falls Creek last week. And let me tell you, when you go through some depressing times in the days to come, and you will, because life is filled with the ups and the downs, and you will go through those times, but just remember this. Don't hang your head out there and feel that you're all alone. God is still there. God is with you wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever you're experiencing in life, God is there. And we oftentimes fail to remember that in those times, even though we lean into our own understanding, that's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. You see, you and I will never understand many things on this side of eternity today. There are many things that you and I are not privileged to understand. That's why I always try to refer people whenever they have questions, questions that beg for answers, questions that you and I will not have the answers to. I go back to Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to God, but the things that he has revealed belong to us and to our children. You see, God did not reveal to you and me all of the things in life that we will never understand. We just have to reach out through faith, by faith, and grab hold of Jesus and hang on. Let me tell you, the nation of Israel learned some lessons about the reality of life, but secondly, they learned some lessons about themselves. They learned some lessons about themselves. Let me ask you a question this morning. Somebody said that life is like just a great big laboratory. Every experience, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it x-rays our heart and it reveals exactly as we are. This bitter time, the nation of Israel had gathered 3 days beyond the Red Sea into the wilderness of Shur. And they're thirsty and they're at the water hole. And when they begin to drink, they realize that the water was bitter. And that's why they call that place Marah. Let me tell you, I'm afraid that you and I, oftentimes in our lives, we are guilty of some of the same things. Let me tell you, they learned some things about themselves. Let me ask you a question. Have you learned anything new about yourself and the experiences of life that you experience from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year? What have you learned about your life? What have you learned about your faith? Are you still as God-centered? Are you still as faith-centered? Whenever things are tough and whenever things are not like you would like for them to be. Let me tell you, they learned some things that day in the wilderness of Shur. At the bitter waters, they learned that they were living for themselves. They were living for self and self alone. They were concerned about their own satisfaction. They had forgotten all the things that God had done in the past week for them. They had forgot about all the miracles that they had seen happen. Let me tell you, they were concerned about their own self. They were caught up in the wonder and the glory of the miracles. But it's been 3 days, and so it's short-lived. Does that sound pretty familiar to you and me this morning? You see, when we get into a jam, and we seem to forget that the greatness of God in our world suddenly becomes very small, and we tighten the boundaries of our lives until we become the centerpiece. We become the focus. We become the thought. We become the motive. We must remember that the better things in life are to be. The better things are down the road. The better things are coming someday. But the real deal is, how do I survive in the murky, bitter waters of Marah as I am going through those? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me tell you, they learned a lot about themselves that day. They learned that they were living for self, for satisfaction. But let me tell you, they also learned that they were walking no longer by faith that had led them out of Egyptian bondage. They had seen 10 miracles that God brought forth on the Egyptians. They watched those miracle after miracle, the Red Sea miracle. But let me tell you, they had suddenly forgot about their faith, and they began to walk by sight. Let me ask you and me a question this morning. How strong is my faith? When the going gets tough, how strong is my faith? Do I still love God as much as I said that I loved him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my might? Or has suddenly there been a kink in the chain of the events of my life and I no longer see God as I once saw God? Let me tell you, the nation of Israel at the waters of Marah, they were walking by sight. They were guilty of looking for satisfaction in the world around them instead of looking to God. You see, when their expectations failed them, then they were disappointed with God and with Moses. How many times are you and I guilty of the same thing? We expect something, some job, someone to make us happy. And all the time, we never realize the joy of knowing Jesus, the joy to know that someday we will be with Jesus for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, and all of the incredible things that he has planned for us for all eternity. I mean, all of the things. If he made a perfect garden in the Garden of Eden with everything imaginable that would bring satisfaction to the heart of men, can you only imagine what he's got planned for us for the future? Let me tell you, they learned something at the bitter waters of Marah about themselves. They were living for self. They were walking not by faith. They were walking by sight. They were walking by the things that had disappointed them in life. They were also never satisfied. You see, these people here in Exodus, just 3 days before, They'd seen the great army, the greatest army in the world at that time, the Egyptian army destroyed. They'd seen the great sea part. That was incredible. And they watched their enemies be destroyed. But when these things happened, they opened their mouths and they praised God and they worshiped. But now, 3 days later, where are they? They're standing by the pool of Marah and they're complaining because they didn't like what was happening and it wasn't in their own timing. How like us are we like that? Let me tell you, when we're up on the mountain, let me tell you, everything is wonderful. It's glorious. You can reach up and pull heaven down. But let me tell you, you go through a trial. You go through some great thing in your life. And all of a sudden we say, God, where are you? God, I didn't know that's what I signed up for. See, a lot of people believe that once they receive Jesus, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is coming up roses and daffodils. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, that ain't the way life is. Let me tell you, God's plan for our lives is that we learn to give Him glory in every situation that happens to us. When we're on the mountain, we need to praise Him for His blessings. But let me tell you, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow, we need to praise Him for His faithfulness. There's the last thing they learned this morning. It's Keith and Dinah come to sing with me here in a few minutes. Let me tell you, they learned some lessons, not only about the realities of life, they learned some lessons about themselves. No wonder the psalmist said, He remembers my frame and He knows that I'm dust. They learned that very lesson. But let me tell you, third and lastly, they learned some lessons about the Lord. They learned some lessons about the Lord. They learned that He's aware of our needs. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your need today? What is the greatest need that you have in your life? Now, I didn't ask what is the greatest want that you have in your life. We could all give a long litany of wants that we would love to have. But what's the greatest need that you have this morning? Let me tell you, nothing that's in your life right now takes God by surprise. He's already in your tomorrow. He knows what you're going to face when you get there. He knows of the sickness that you have yet to develop. He knows of the grief that you have yet to bear. He knows about the bills that need to be mailed, but you don't have the wherewithal to mail them. I'm glad this morning that I serve a God who knows what I need before I ever need it. He is aware of my need, but He's also able to meet that need. Let me tell you, Moses was commanded to cast a tree into the waters, and when he did, the waters became sweet. Once again, he performed a miracle in their very presence. You see, God in His wisdom had already prepared that tree long before the children of Israel ever crossed the Red Sea and wandered into the wilderness. He had already prepared that little seedling that became a tree by which Moses would take that tree, cut it down, and cast it into the bitter waters, and the waters would become drinkable to the people of God. Let me tell you, He knows your need about tomorrow. He knows the need that you had yesterday. He's able to meet that need. I'm grateful this morning that God knows where you are. He is abundantly able to meet that need. He's already provided for our needs. Years before Israel arrived there in the wilderness of Shur at Marah, God caused that little seed to germinate, and it would be a tree that He would use. Let me tell you, God planted a tree one day that He knew the purpose of it. It was a tree at Calvary. It was a tree that He Himself would let His Son die on the cross to shed His blood for the remission of our sins, God knew long before Calvary ever happened, how that he would reconcile you and me to himself, a holy God. In order for you and me to know God, he would do it through his Son, Jesus Christ. God planted the tree that Jesus would hang on. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let me tell you, you and I will never face a need that God is not aware of. And in his awareness of knowing that need, God will make a way where there seems to be no way forever. He's faithful. At Marah that day in the wilderness of Shur, God revealed himself to the nation of Israel as Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord your healer. You see, if Israel had never faced this bitter time, they would have never known the aspect of God's character. Let me tell you, just as Job would have never known that God could restore him unless he first lost it all, just as Lazarus would have never known what the joy of life truly was hadn't he died, Mary and Martha wouldn't have understood who Jesus, the resurrection and the life was, unless they had walked through the valley of grief. And what I'm saying this morning is this: the Lord uses the bitter episodes of life to reveal himself to us. He uses those in our lives, those bitter waters, in order to make us strong, in order to make us more conformed to his image, in order for us to shine in the darkest of nights for the peoples of the world who need the light of Christ. You see, this morning, whatever the need, wherever you are, know this: you are sheltered today in the loving, everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'll fall asleep. in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me, for I'm sheltered. Sheltered in the arms of God.
Thank you, guys.